This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Greg Diachenko was at the center of a case that was the basis for a Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling that mandatory life sentences for juveniles are unconstitutional. For him, it meant getting a second chance. Now he's back in jail for violating his parole. Today, he went before the state parole board to make his case for another chance. WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker was at the hearing today and joins us now. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Deb, give us some background. He was first sentenced to prison in 1981 at the age of 17. How did he get there and how long was he in?
Well, he was in for a long time. As you said, in 1981, he got there. Greg Diachenko fatally stabbed 55-year-old Thomas Wharf during a robbery attempt near Kenmore Square. Diachenko was convicted of first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to a mandatory term of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. In 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional to send juveniles to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So states were then left to decide how to handle their so-called juvenile lifers. And in 2013, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court took up the issue using Diachenko's case. So the whole ruling on how we now deal with so-called juvenile lifers is based on Greg Diachenko's case. And the SJC ruling allowed Diachenko and others like him to become eligible for parole, which he was eventually. He ended up being in prison for a total of 34 years.
So he was paroled in 2015, shortly after the Supreme Judicial Court ruled that life sentences for juveniles are unconstitutional. Now he's violated his parole. What happened?
Well, we should back up just a little bit. So after he was paroled, he went to a step-down program, and then he went to live with his mother in Roslindale, and that was part of his program for release before the parole board. And we profiled Greg Diachenko after he was paroled as part of a series we did on releasing those who were convicted of serious crimes as juveniles. And this is what he said then.
I mean, I know a lot of people don't want me out, okay? They think that I should rot in prison for the rest of my life. But the parole board saw otherwise.
And the parole board was a unanimous vote to parole him at the time. He was working. He seemed to be in compliance with his parole. But today at his hearing, he admitted that he was having difficulties. He had started drinking alcohol again, something that was a problem for him when he was a teenager. And he said that he faced several stressors on the outside. He had health issues. He had a contentious relationship with his mother. There were financial issues, real adjustment issues, and then his alcoholism, which he didn't know how to deal with. And then he said after the death of his cousin's daughter, someone he was very close to, he started drinking even more. Diachenko's parole officer visited his home in May of last year and administered a breath test, which came back positive. So Diachenko was arrested at his home for that positive breath test. He was also accused today during the hearing of behaving inappropriately at a rally that he had attended, protesting the water quality at MCI Norfolk, and that was where he spent most of his 34 years of incarceration. And then after his arrest, he's accused of being involved in a verbal altercation with a correction officer.
So what went on at today's hearing?
It was a very long hearing. Diachenko spent about 3 hours answering the board's questions and explaining his difficulties adjusting and his relapse. And this is what he started telling the board.
I think you're going to have to paraphrase for us.
Well, basically what he said was, I realize that my name is synonymous with a change in the law allowing juvenile lifers an opportunity to serve parole. And he apologized profusely for letting down his family and his friends and the community. The parole board room was full of supporters of Greg Diachenko. And he admitted he did not ask for help for his alcoholism or his adjustment issues, and said that he wanted to learn from this mistake and hopefully do better if he were to be re-released. Five supporters spoke on his behalf today, including his stepmother and friends from his job at the First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain. There was also opposition today from the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. Assistant DA Paul Lynn told the board that the office opposes parole for Diachenko, but said if Diachenko is released, he would hope that there would be a stronger plan in place for relapse prevention. Let's listen to some of what he said.
What alarmed me about what he said today in the hearing is how casually he made those decisions, just saying, oh, what the heck, I'll have a beer. And that's a very strong concern of the Commonwealth. He obviously needs help. He needs more counseling.
And Diachenko and others admitted that he did need more help and more counseling to adjust. There were a lot of questions about his relapse, about his drinking, about his work, and about this rally that he attended protesting the water quality. Diachenko admitted that he was involved in a group called Deeper Than Water, which was advocating for better water quality inside MCI Norfolk. And we actually spoke with him, WBUR spoke with him when he was involved with this group about what the problem was with the water quality and why he was protesting. And this is what he said.
I would like people to know on the inside that I think about them all the time. And hopefully laws will change one day that will give them an opportunity to come out here in society and establish themselves and contribute.
Now, the board asked several questions today of Diachenko, saying that he should have known that he was not supposed to be involved in public events without parole's approval first, and he said that he would be more aware of that in the future.
So, Deb, what happens from here?
So from here, people have 2 weeks to comment. And after that, the board makes a decision. There's no deadline, so we don't know. We will get a decision as to whether he will be re-paroled or not, or finish serving a life prison sentence.
This was such a critical case in Massachusetts criminal justice. What does it mean that he specifically is facing reincarceration?
I think it's very symbolic. I think that, he's right. He did say that he felt some of the pressures of being the face of juvenile lifers, being given the opportunity for parole. And I think that it's significant that he is back in jail for this violation. And we'll see what happens and whether perhaps there needs to be a deeper look on how to help folks readjust if they are released after spending so much time incarcerated.
WBUR Senior Correspondent Deborah Becker, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.